Well, here we go. Now, the Lord's been so good the last few weeks. All I can say is He's been sufficient. Amen. And a lot of questions, you know, why this, why that. But I can say the Lord's been faithful and that the Lord has proven again and again to be exactly what I needed, what my wife needed. And we're just so thankful to be here at Berean Baptist Church. And I'm just trying to take it all in. Everyone's been asking how the first couple days have been. Well, my first day was a holiday, so I got paid for July 5th. My second day, this true story, we took a field trip, and so that was awesome. That was like 2 or 3 hours just walking around doing nothing. And so that was a great day. And then today we had ice cream. And so like the first 3 days have been awesome. And, like, it's been pretty good. And so if y'all keep this up, maybe some cake tomorrow or, you know, something. But I am trying to watch my figure, if y'all can tell, and it's not going well. But Pastor wanted me just to share a little bit about myself, you know, as part of the sermon. And I can't think of a better sermon to try to share you my heart and to try to share with you what God's done for us and for our family. And so, don't stand yet, but if you would, go ahead and take your Bible to Joshua chapter 24. Chapter 24. If you serve the Lord long enough, and I know, comparatively speaking, my time is short to some in this room, but there are certain passages of Scriptures, certain times in your life, that God keeps bringing forward to you and that God brings out in your life, and He uses that in a special way. And tonight I have the privilege of preaching one of them for me. And I promise you I will try to keep it together. I'm thankful beyond compare of what the Lord's done, and we'll just we'll leave it there and try to explain a little bit as we go. So let's go ahead and stand. We'll just read the Bible. I figure that's probably a good place to start. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1 says this: "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood of in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and served other gods." It's an important statement to what is about to be said through the remainder of the text. But we'll skip down to verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." So we already see that their fathers served other gods, but Joshua is drawing them to a point that now it is time to serve the Lord. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," verse 15, "choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we need you this evening, and Lord, we know that we've come to your word, and we know that there's answers here. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God that's been preserved for us, that's perfect, that holds no error. And God, I'm thankful to have a church that stands on that premise and that truth. And I pray that you would just continually bless Berean Baptist Church. I'm thankful to have our family here. I pray you'd help us to be a blessing, even if it's a small fraction of what they've been to us already. And Lord, we love you. And I pray that you would help us to just deliver your word this evening. Lord, I pray that you would just use your word as we know you will. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joshua 24 is the theme of the ladies' conference. So I asked Miss Robin's permission kind of before all this happened. But I told her the other day, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is where I was headed. And she said she didn't have pastor scheduled to preach there for a few more months, so it was going to be okay when she preached out, when he laid out his preaching calendar. And so it would be okay for now for me to preach it, because it'd be September before the ladies' conference. So just so y'all know, I'm on good graces so far. But we do know that Joshua 24:15 is something that we always put on the wall. You know, it's in a lot of our houses at, in some point, somewhere. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we can't just get to that verse and fully understand what Joshua is trying to communicate to the children of Israel. This is the last time that Joshua will address the children of Israel that we have recorded. At the end of the chapter, he passes off the scene and he will die. And there's a lot of emotion in this text from Joshua. And I want us to walk through the text just a little bit, and it will help us to understand what he was really trying to say in Joshua in verse 14 and 15. In verses 1 through 13, God, through Joshua, told the children of Israel how that he had been faithful to their fathers. Over and over again, we will see the faithfulness of God presented in different manifest ways. Cole, would you please come sit right here? I will need you in just a second. Hurry up. Hurry up. Let's go. All right. This just so happened to be the very spot that God had promised the land to Abraham. If you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and Shechem, you can sit right there. It's okay. Yep. Everybody's watching you now instead of me, but it'll be okay. But what's important is that Abraham was called and given this promise at the place of Shechem. And it's almost like God's bringing them back here to this place symbolically to remind them of some things, that he had been faithful to the promise of that he had already given to Abraham. Okay, in verse number 3, if you look down, it says, "And I took Abraham." This is the picture here, okay? This is Abraham, okay? Y'all see? This is Abraham, all right? It says that he took Abraham. And he took him exactly where he wanted him to go. God has his hand. It's literally that Abraham is in God's hand. Oh, we don't want to go over there. Let's go over here. Because that was Egypt. He wanted them to go over there. And he took him in his hand. God was faithful to Abraham. Let's see with Mama. He was faithful. He had him in his hand. Okay? That's the word took there. It's that God literally led him by the hand, just as a father would his child, and lead him around. Okay, he was under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Isaac and Jacob had their issues. Okay, you could look at their families and say, wow, I'm glad I'm not in Isaac's family, because he had two sons and they went haywire, or how he messed up everything. But God was faithful. He was faithful to the promise that he had given Abraham. He was faithful. You could look at how that the verbs is he took, he led, he multiplied, and he said gave 3 times just in the first couple verses there. In verse 4 it says, "And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt." So there's a shift there in the term there, but Jacob went down to Egypt. It was almost like, but you went down to Egypt. Okay, God had been faithful, but he went down to Egypt. Verse 5, "I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out." So even in this foreign land, God's proven again and again that he is what? He's been faithful. Okay, he's been faithful. The word "I brought you out," the term here is that he led them out, again, with the hand of a father. But it also has the idea of the Emancipation Proclamation, the very term that Abraham Lincoln used, the emancipation, that he had freed them. It was God himself that was faithful to his children that brought them out. He said, "I brought you out." Verse 6, same term. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and Egypt... the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea unto them, and covered them. So it's been talking about their fathers the whole time. Okay, verse 7 in the halfway point says, "And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season." God seems to pause here and remind them that they had seen all the things, they remember all these things, but then he shifts, "These are the stories that you were told, but this is now what I've done for you, personally." So he had been faithful to this generation, the generation of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the generations in Egypt. But now you can see how that I've been faithful to you. He wants a shift there because, well, I'll go ahead and show my hand now. The God of the previous generation, the God's been faithful to that generation, will be faithful to this generation. Amen. There's a difference here, and the shift is in verse 7. And it says, "And I brought you into the land." He literally gave it to them. He did everything for them. He said, "I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and I fought with you and gave them unto your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you." It literally says to pluck down like a wall. Okay, they were coming into this land that they didn't know what was going on, and they were just foot soldiers. They were coming up against chariots and horsemen and all these superior armies of the day. But God's just like, "I'm just going to push over like a wall. Piece by piece, I'm going to unpack it so you can walk through." God protected them from the Egyptians through mighty works like clouds for leadership or dry soil to walk on, allowing the sun to remain longer than it was supposed to in the sky, and delivering the land into their hand. In the wilderness, God fed and watered, and he supplied meat to them as they cried out to him. Before they crossed into the Jordan River, they were protected by God, in that he destroyed Sihon and Og, literally means to demolish, that there was nothing left of them to move forward with. Moab tried to hire prophets like Balaam, but could not do such, much to the displeasure of Balak. In the instance with Balak, they were entangled with him. The word delivered here again is used, and how that God had literally dismantled their very ideas. Like taking a piece of candy, God just said, "No, you're not going to have mine." You know why? Because God's faithful to his children. The defeat of the Moabite and Amorite kings brought fear to the Canaanites. They were coming into land, they crossed over Jordan, and the very God that had taken Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he had proven faithful to that generation. But as soon as they crossed into the land, what happened? There was an encounter with God Almighty, and then Jericho fell flat. In verse 11, let's read that together. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, and drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build. He was just saying how that he did all this over and over again, okay? If you didn't notice, I'm sure you weren't counting, but 20 times there's a specific point that God says, "I did this. I acted for you. I came to a point that you needed me so much that I was faithful to you again and again and again," 20 times in this, just in the first 13 verses. Commentator said this: "The proper response to God's gracious dealings was for Israel to forsake their gods and follow him, the one true God." That brings us to verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Joshua told them to fear the Lord. Joshua desired that they would not just live in the excitement of their time, and how God had just given them this land, and there's so much fruit and honey and goodness of the land itself, that they would be fine for a whole generation. There's proof of that. One generation. Look at the first chapter of the book of Judges. Everything falls apart. He didn't want that. He told them instead to fear the Lord. He told them that he would rather them revere God in such a way that they have a recall of the mighty acts of God, but they have an expectation of what God could do next for them. It wasn't that God was the God of the previous generation. He was the God of this generation, but they had to make it personal because they had to serve the Lord. It wasn't their parents' job anymore. Youth department, it's not your parents' job to serve the Lord. It's your job to serve the Lord. It's your job to serve the Lord. Is it your parents' job? Yes. But that's their generation. It's up to us in our generation to serve the Lord. How do you do that? To fear the Lord. We must read the overwhelming acts of God to bring them into this land. And that it was just a snapshot. It's just an overarching view. And I was reading this morning, I never realized this before. There's only really one negative shot, if you will, toward the Israelite people. There's only really one, okay? The rest of it was how that God was faithful despite of what was brought up. So Abraham was, he was faithful. Abraham messed up a lot, but God didn't mention how Abraham messed up. He mentioned how God was faithful to him. Isaac, you can go through the whole list. There was not one time that God said, because of this, I had to save you out of this. No, instead it was how God was faithful. 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 That's just how it, that's so what's the point of it? God's faithful, serve him faithfully. God is faithful, serve him faithfully. We could talk about murmuring, turning back at Kadesh Barnea, complaining about the provision of manna, disputing against the law of God, disobedience at Ai and even Jericho. Okay. But the failure of the children of Israel was not the focus of this passage. However, it was the faithfulness of God. For the children of Israel to fear the Lord, it meant for them to give undivided love and loyalty to Jehovah, the covenant keeper. Even though their sin against God, the one who remained faithful, he deserved a wholesome people. The next words of the text will help us here. So let's look at verse 14. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." The term sincere is a pottery term. They would have counterfeit pottery in those days, and pottery was, it's like a bowl, obviously, or whatever, a pitcher. But it's an important part, okay? It was a big part of their lifestyle. But if there was a hole or a crack in it, it wasn't good. It wasn't able to be used. So what did they do instead? They would put it up to the light and check it to see if it was whole, if it was sincere, if it didn't have any cracks in it. Because there were times that a counterfeit would come by and that they would use this salve and it would just go on the inside and it would almost glue it back together. But it wasn't whole. There would be cracks left in it. You could see where it was been messed up. Only when you held it up to the light. So in this, when he says to serve him in sincerity and in truth, he wants them to serve God, to fear God in such a way that you're a whole person about it. You can't serve God with one aspect of your life. You can't serve God just on Sunday. You can't serve God just on Wednesday night. And I'm thankful y'all are here tonight. Else it'd be awkward. Okay? But you can't do that. You have to serve God wholly because that's what's expected. That's how we are faithful in return to a faithful God. There's something about a whole person. When you have a conversation with someone and you just know it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to a whole number. Like you're getting 2.5% instead of the 98, or you're getting 98% instead of the 2.5. Some people are that bad, okay? Just can't sell it. But you can tell that their mind is elsewhere, or they're thinking about something completely different, and but you're still trying to have a serious conversation with them. You're trying to be whole with them. You're trying to impart something to them that means something to you. God's been faithful to His children. He's been faithful to us. But we give Him 50%. Sometimes at best. God's been faithful to us. How is it anything less than ethical if we don't serve Him faithfully? Service to God would be a choice of ethical proportions. Well, how do you get there? Verse 15. Let me back up. I skipped truth. Don't want to skip that one. To serve Him in sincerity and in truth. You know what the word truth is in a lot of other... The same Hebrew word in other places? Faithful. To serve Him faithfully. To serve Him in truth. To be true about who you are. God's called us to be His children, so be true to who you are. Be a whole person about it and be true about it. If you're going to be 98%, don't do it. Do it 100%. Do it a whole number and be faithful to it. Be true to it. The God who had been faithful to their fathers must be served by those who are faithful. Faith-filled people, like people in Hebrews 11, were ones who served God in both sincerity and in truth according to God's law. Now, service to God will have ethical proportions. When you say ethics, what do you mean? Well, like, what is right and what is evil? Okay, there are two sides to that coin. Ethics, okay? Joshua gave them the unethical choice. Okay, he's backing them into a corner on purpose. Verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Evil has relation to ethics in a negative light here. They would expose their hearts against a faithful God if they failed to serve Him. He's like, God has done all of that for your ancestors and the generations before you. He's done all this for this present generation. If that's evil to you, go serve all that. The things that He's been compared to that has been not good enough for Him, the things He's called you out of the land of the Ur, the Chaldees, out of Egypt, out of the Canaanite people, and He's preserved this people. He's brought this people to serve Him. If that's evil to you, then your whole ethics system is not according to His system. Because He's been faithful. And so what should we do? We should be faithful back. That's what Joshua's trying to say. Now the term service. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord. If you go back to the Garden of Eden. I just want to say evil two more times, I guess. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God gave man these two words, these two jobs, if you will, okay? To dress it and to keep it. He gave them two jobs in the garden, to dress it and to keep it. Be a gardener and don't mess it up, okay? To dress it and to keep it. Word study, that's a big part of So the Hebrew language has a bunch of word pictures. That's how it is, okay? It's a beautiful language. I know about this much of it. I know enough to pass the class. So I do have that much. And this is actually from the class, so hopefully Brother Gaddis got it right. I'm kidding. Kind of. But to dress and to keep it. So these two words are used in the... when they were priests, okay? The service. So it was Adam's duty, even into dress and to keep the garden. That was his job in service to the Lord. He was to dress it and to keep it. Those are two interchangeable Hebrew words that were used of the priests in the temple and in the tabernacle, okay? To dress it and to keep it. Service same word. Whatever God has called you to do, whether it be to stand up here and preach, or whether to go be an electrician, or to go to be a plumber, or to go work in a tech field, or be a general laborer, if God has called you to do that, then dress it and keep it and serve God. Well, you say, well, how do you do that faithfully? You serve God as a whole person. You be an honest person. You be a man of integrity. You be a person that is who they say they are. You be whole about it. Serve God and fear Him in sincerity and in truth. Joshua bought into the idea that is presented here. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because Joshua understood that the previous generation, get this, they didn't wear out the faithfulness of God. The God that had been faithful to that generation had been faithful to this generation and is expected to be faithful to our generation as well. Joshua led by example, by proclaiming his choice to faithfully serve a faithful God. Joshua made a personal declaration of service to the Lord by publicly stating it to his people. Joshua, as their leader, wanted them to be aware of his stance with the faithful God, Jehovah. I'm with Him, the faithful one, as faithful as I can be. I want to be with Him. We could just consider the examples above and how that Abraham messed up with Hagar, Isaac and the treatment of Jacob and Esau, Jacob, how he treated Esau, Laban and his wives, his sons, and the unfinished following of God to Bethel. Moses struck the rock in anger. Aaron questioned Moses and how he made the golden calf. Their forefathers, they murmured, complained, served evil gods. They intermarried. They turned away from the promised land. Yet God was still faithful. Joshua warned that so here's the beautiful part. Joshua warned them that they couldn't do it by themselves. Amen. But that's what we're supposed to do, is to serve God and fear Him in sincerity and truth, right? God's too holy. You're too unholy. God's too jealous, and you have too many priorities. Verse 16, 17. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way where we went among all the people. Verse 19. And Joshua said, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God, for He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. What Joshua is saying is that, one, this is a covenant between God and Israel. Okay. Two, that God is so holy and so high that even in our best efforts, we can't serve Him enough that ethically returns any of the faithfulness that He's already given us. There's no way we can. But we're ethically charged, we're called of the Holy Spirit to serve Him in sincerity and truth. You say, well, how do we get there today? How does that translate from Joshua 24 to Berean Baptist Church 2021 tonight? Service to God requires a realization of who you are absent of the grace of God. Absent of the grace of God. We are sought by the grace of God. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We are saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. We are sanctified through the grace of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Service to God requires a submission to His way and a rejection of our ways. The disciplined believer will see in Matthew 5 through 7 has laid down his life in humility to accomplish the work of God that he's done, that he has for us. His end will be on the rock that withstands the wiles of the world. You remember the story there of the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand? That's a picture of what the previous three chapters have been about. It's how that when we build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ as a discipled believer, then it will stand because you've served Him in sincerity and in truth. You feared the Lord and you put Him as a priority in your life. But when you don't, you're not holy enough. You haven't done your part in serving Him. You've been unfaithful to a faithful God. Service to God requires us to remember His faithfulness in our life. So we've talked about Israel. We've talked about how that God's been faithful in those generations and then that present generation, and that He desired to be faithful to them in the next generation. And He was faithful to them, even though they turned against Him. But I can say with assurance that even today, the previous generation did not wear out the faithfulness of God. David, Solomon, Jonah, Elijah, Peter, we could go on and on, okay? They didn't wear out the faithfulness of God. We could talk about historical figures to even today, how that people like Moody or Eliot or Sunday or Whitfield or Lewis or Judson, how we may not agree with them all doctrinally, but they didn't wear out the faithfulness of God. They didn't push God to the limit to say, you know what, forget you. God's been faithful. He's not forsaken us. From Sweeney, Texas, to Garland, to Rockwell, to Terrell, to Hot Springs, to Prairie Grove, to Lincoln, to Oklahoma City, to Bethany, to Tampa, to Springfield. God's been faithful to me. I'm convinced that the faithfulness of God is so much superior than what any thing that I could do with my life, that it is only right and only it's the only best thing I can do is to serve the Lord faithfully. And that's why we're here. That's why Joshua 24 means something to me. I know that I'm human. And you're human. Yet there ought to be a desire within us as a person, a believer, that is led of the Spirit to serve God with sincerity and in truth, in a way that brings honor to Him, and that will go out and challenge a generation that doesn't fear the Lord, and that doesn't serve Him, and that doesn't offer themselves holy in both sense of the word, as a holy person before God and as a whole person. When God calls us to do something, it deserves to be done wholeheartedly. When we don't do that wholeheartedly, then one of those three things hasn't happened. You're not fearing the Lord, you're not serving the Lord in sincerity or in truth. Something has given in a way that can't. So as we consider all this together, there's one more aspect to Joshua 24 that I think is helpful to us. Joshua told the children of Israel that they would be a witness against themselves. Joshua laid out a stone before God, and man has and these people would have a place before God to remind them of a commitment they made to God. It was in Shechem. It was in this place that was special. An ordinance was made. A special time was made between them and God. One of remembering what God had done. Recalling what God has done in my life. But then a place of, well, you've done all of this, but now it's my job to go forward and be faithful to God. Because what He's done in all of that, it's only ethical. It's only right. It's only my call as a person of God to continually serve Him and forsake the gods of the land. Now, what you need to forsake tonight, that's not my job. I could make a pretty good list and I could get a lot of amens. But let me ask you these few questions. How do you fear God? How do you serve Him? Are you being faithful to God? Because He's certainly been faithful to you. Amen. We can't stand or sit in this auditorium tonight without understanding how much God has been faithful to us. But it is our ethical point right now to serve Him forever. Without contradiction, holy, to fear Him, to live in a heart and a life that is characterized by light. That is characterized as a son of God. That is characterized by one who fears the Lord and serves Him in sincerity and in truth. Let's pray. Father, I love You tonight, and I'm thankful for Your word and how that it's enough. And I pray that You would help us tonight as we look through our lives and consider how faithful You've been. And I pray that it would drive us to be faithful back to You. And Lord, I'm thankful for the times that You have proven faithful to me, and even times that I can't even remember that You know You've been faithful. God, I love You, and I pray that You'd help us as we serve together here at Berean Baptist Church, that we can say that we have a fear of God, and that we've made it our effort, our goal, to serve You in sincerity and in truth. Lord, I love You. Lord, as piano plays, I thank You for all You've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, and every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to ask, if you need to do business with God, that you come. And even if it's just to thank God for how faithful He's been. And you can pray there, no doubt. But just as Joshua made a special point to set up a marker in their life, sometime that needs to be done in our lives too.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, care?